What we're going to do this morning is just real quick, I want to read a little bit of a Bible reading, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, and you can turn there if you'd like, or you can just listen and follow along. We're just going to read the account of what we'll be covering later this morning in our message. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city. And let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And verse 9, And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day, that they rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." It's a blessing to be here, and good to see each one of you out this morning. And today, as we continue our series, Faith for the Journey, Faith for the Journey from Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at all the examples that we have been given from that chapter concerning faith. And as we go through this, I believe we see the many aspects of faith and the many times we need to live by faith and trust in God by faith. This morning, we're going to talk about faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it says there in verse 30, it says there, By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That's all it says in this chapter concerning that passage. I believe the Hebrews were aware of what had occurred, what had taken place. And here they were reminded of the fact that it was by faith that those walls came down. Faith for the impossible. Today we come across a new character. Joshua is what we're going to be looking at. Joshua was a dedicated man. Bible tells us that he served the Lord as an assistant to Moses. You know what that means? That means he was content where God placed him. You know, some people struggle with being content with the role God has put them in. Not Joshua. He was content where God put him. Secondly, we find that Joshua was a faithful man. In the book of Numbers, it tells us that he was one of the two spies that went into the land. And when they returned, they looked at Moses and said, "We can take this land." Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go. God hath given it to us." The other 10 doubted. They saw the size of the people. They saw the cities and the walls. And they said, I don't know. Sadly, the people followed those other 10. But Joshua was a faithful man and he believed in God. Also, Joshua was an ambitious man. He eagerly sought to serve the Lord wherever God placed him. Ambitious. You know, there's nothing wrong with being ambitious in our service to God. I think we should have zeal as we serve the Lord. We should be excited and we should give all of our effort in serving God. Finally, Joshua was an obedient man. As we'll see this morning, he followed the Lord even when it seemed impractical. He followed God and had faith in God. Now, Joshua at this time, we read Joshua chapter 6, at this point in his life, he is now the leader of the Israelite nation. And what a group he was given. This was a nation of former slaves. And basically, they had men of war, but they were without a real army, so to speak, compared to the other armies of the lands. And they also probably were short on their weapons of war. I mean, they had been in the wilderness for 40 years. They probably didn't have the best technology or the up-to-date weapons of war like some of these other nations had. On top of that, their former leader, Moses, was gone. He was removed. God had called him home. He wouldn't go into that promised land with him. And the previous generation, all of their fathers and their mothers were also taken. The Bible tells us that they wandered for 40 years in that wilderness and then they were taken away. You know, their parents, this generation that went into the land, their parents were the greatest generation of complainers, grumblers, gripers to ever walk the face of the earth. Now, that's not something to brag about, but that's what occurred. They were known for that, and that's why for 40 years they wandered in unbelief. But this generation was different. Let's pray for the next generation, even today. Let's pray for the young people. Let's pray that God will raise up a godly generation in our nation and that they'll serve the Lord and follow the Lord. And I tell you what, if we're not part of that generation, let's prepare that generation. You know, let's do what we can to prepare our children to follow God and live for the Lord. Well, anyway, this generation that Joshua has, they're ready to go into the land. They're looking to be blessed by God. Now, the report remained. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. We're not going to turn there. But that's where the report was. Joshua went in with those other spies. They returned and said, yes, there's a lot of big people there. It's going to be tough to take that land. You know, that report remained with them. But so did God's promise. And we're going to see this morning that they had faith in God. And by faith, Joshua and the people of Israel did the impossible. They really did. They did the impossible by faith in God. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. As we look at Joshua a little bit and as we consider this passage, I pray that you'll encourage us. Perhaps there's one here this morning that has something in their life that just appears to be impossible. Something in their life that you've allowed that is an obstacle. I pray today this will be an encouragement to them. I pray that they'll find faith, or they'll have faith in you and find that you're faithful just like Joshua did. Please guide and direct us through this passage. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you four thoughts this morning. Four thoughts concerning the Israelites and concerning Joshua and faith for the impossible. How many of you want to have faith for the impossible? I do. I want to have faith to see God work in my life. I want to have faith to see God work here in this church, in this ministry. Faith for the impossible. First, I want you to think on this fact. The Bible tells us that they went. They were eager. That's what I want you to think of first. Their eagerness. You know, it may seem simple, but they went. You know, often prayers remain unanswered because they're never prayed. Sometimes we carry our burdens instead of giving them to God. You can't have an answered prayer. You don't take it to the Lord. Sometimes temptations are not overcome because little or no effort is given. We just cave in. You see, there has to be some eagerness to serve God if we're going to live by faith. Had these people doubted, think about this. This nation's going into this land. Had they doubted, they would have turned back. They would have went back into the wilderness in discouragement and in really as cowards. They would have returned like their parents in unbelief. Instead, the Bible tells us that they went and that they moved forward. Now, Jericho was a frontier city. As soon as you crossed the Jordan River, Jericho was standing right there. That's the first sight you saw. You know, have you ever traveled? You go into another state and you see the sign saying, welcome to this state or welcome to this state. Jericho was the welcome mat for people going into the land, and it wasn't a sign. It was a large fortified city that was waiting basically to kind of keep control of the outskirts of the land of Canaan. It was a fortified city. The Bible tells us it was surrounded by walls, massive walls. And the people in this situation, once they heard the Israelites had crossed the Jordan River by a miracle, it says the land of Canaan feared. They were concerned because here come these Israelites with some kind of power that they had never even heard of, and that's the power of God is what they had. And the Bible tells us that they went into their city. They fortified themselves. Basically said, you're not going to get us. We're behind these walls. You're not going to overcome us. You see, they believed they were safe in their city. Now, Joshua and the people reached this city, and you know what they did? They looked to God. That's what they did. They looked to the Lord. He didn't just get there and say, well, let's just go see what we can do. He got there, and the Bible tells us he looked to the Lord. You know what faith did in his life? Faith produced eagerness. Now, eagerness is basically the desire, the want to go forward. I guess you could say it's motivation. You know, often today, motivational speakers can make a lot of money going from business to business or from professional team to professional team, just challenging people to do what they need to do. I believe once we trust in God, we live by faith, we're going to have a desire to serve God, to walk with God, to read the Bible, to be faithful to the commands that God has given to us from His Word. Now, faith produced eagerness for these people. And I believe it enabled them to be bold and courageous. Now, think about this. This wasn't a nation of warriors. They had never fought a big fight. But they're about ready to take this city because they were eager. They had faith in God. You know, the evangelist D.L. Moody, God blessed his ministry in many ways during the 1800s. In his Bible, were several notes in his Bible. He had several Bibles, and he passed them on to different members of his family, from my understanding, as he got older. But in one of his Bibles, next to the verse, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, I'll read you what it says. The verse says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That's the verse. But next to that verse in his Bible, D.L. Moody wrote this down, and I'm going to read it to you. He says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. That's an eager desire to serve God. You know, this morning, you may not write that in your Bible, but I hope and pray that you'll have that desire in your heart, that faith in God to go forward and to serve Him. You know, Joshua and the people eagerly followed the Lord. Secondly, this morning, is their earnestness. They had an earnest desire to do things correctly as God had delivered them. You see, they did everything as directed. We read there in Joshua chapter 6 that God had given them directions. The Bible tells us they followed that completely. You see, they were commanded to march around the city once a day for 6 days. It was to be done in quietness. That's what Joshua told them. He said, be quiet as you go around the city. I want no talking, no murmuring, no complaining. You guys be quiet. Perhaps he knew their parents. Now, remember, Joshua was older than all these. And he knew they had all been raised by a bunch of murmurers and complainers and gripers. And he'd probably say, I'm going to put an end to this immediately. There's no talking as we go around this city. Could you imagine if they'd have been allowed to talk? Some of them, I could just hear, what are we doing out here? This is crazy. Why don't we just take the city? And then who knows what's going to happen next? You know, some may have complained. Or as the people in Canaan, behind the city, as they jested and yelled, perhaps they would have started yelling back, getting upset, getting angry. Bible tells us that they were to be quiet. You know, faith is often hindered by words. Not always by actions, but by words. How many of you have ever been discouraged by what someone said? We can be discouraged by a comment. We can also discourage with a comment. Let's be careful with our words and choose them wisely. Also, I guess, be careful not only what you say, but whom you listen to. You see, if you're around someone who's always just pulling you down, discouraging you, be careful of that. And just trust in the Lord. Now here, the Bible tells us on the seventh day they were to compass the city 7 times. The ark, of course, the entire time the ark was to accompany with them. And then after the seventh and final time on that last day, the priests were to blow the trumpets and the people were to shout. And God said, guess what? Then the walls will come down and you're going to have victory over this city. Now, based upon their actions, let's just think about this. Let's be realistic this morning. Circling the city and blowing the horns was improbable. It was. You think about it. The method was simple, and it appears to be inadequate for taking a fortified city. I imagine you go talk to any military strategist today, they would say you're not going to take a city doing that. There are a lot of ways to take a city, but that's not one of them. You see, it was inadequate just on appearance. Also, you think about this, there was no great strategy. There was no gallant charge. There was no weapon drawn. There was no siege of the city. There was no visible physical force applied at all. They were just to walk around that city. And I believe they probably walked at a safe distance. We're told that they had the armed men in front. I imagine they walked around at a safe distance to maintain their safety. And they just walked around the city and went home. Probably didn't even put 8 hours in. Just walked around the city, went on home, called it a day. Went around and did the same thing that next day for 6 days. And during that time, nothing happened. You didn't see the rocks falling. It wasn't like one wall fell here and another. Nothing at all. Now, I imagine on that first day, it was probably, all right, this is exciting. By the time it got to the end of the week, they're probably beginning to wonder. Some of them may have begun to wonder, you know. But Joshua said, let's keep doing it. And by faith, they continued to circle that city. And then the seventh time, they went around. Also, it tells us the priests were directed to blow those horns, the ram's horns. You know, everything was prescribed for them. All that was required was faith. They were to simply walk and then wait for the Lord to work. You know, this morning, I want us to think on this. The Lord's ways are greatly different than ours. You see, God often humbles people in the way that He works. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, when God works, you know what often happens, or really what happened here and what we see in our life today? When He works, usually He alone receives the credit. You see, that's what would happen here. There would be no bragging afterwards. They wouldn't run around and say, look what we did this city. God would receive all the glory for what happened on that day, because God would bless them by faith. You know, I think we can say that their faith produced some earnestness. What I mean by that is there was no compromise. These men and women, when they went around that city, they did it exactly as God had told them. They didn't compromise. They didn't change God's plan to satisfy their desires. And they didn't add to His direction because, well, they just thought it was inadequate. Hey, that's just not going to work. Let's add our own thoughts to it. They didn't change God's direction. They didn't change His plan. You know, that's happening today. You know, people read the Bible, they don't like what it says, so they decide to change the message. That's what's happening today. A lot of people are just changing the message or changing it to fit their needs or to justify sin or to please their just fleshly desires. Pastors have to be careful too, because pastors often do the same. You know, sometimes pastors will preach or teach, but they won't preach and teach the entire Word of God. They'll preach what is enjoyable and leave out sections. You know, we must preach the whole counsel of God and teach the whole counsel of God. You know, today, God's word should be taken as serious as the commands given to Joshua and those people. We should take them, trust in them, and apply them to our lives. You know, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 4:6, it says there, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that was a challenge to Zechariah. But you know, this morning, the problem I think today is we're looking for new methods instead of looking back into God's word. We're looking for new ways and new exciting things instead of trusting what God has already given and applying the Bible to our life. You know, Joshua and the people did exactly what God commanded. They didn't think they knew better than God. They weren't going to come up with a new method. They did exactly what God followed. They were earnest in their following of God, and that was by faith because they trusted God. Thirdly, they endured. They endured. You know, endurance is difficult. It is. I tell you what. Running I never ran a marathon, but running just long distance, it takes its toll. And it's hard to endure sometimes. Bible tells us that Joshua and the people submitted to God. Now, here's my first thought here in this point here. You do realize this was probably against Joshua's instincts or against his nature. You know what we find of Joshua in the Bible? Bible tells us he was a general. He was a leader. He was a soldier. I think it was probably natural for him to strategize, to attack, and to fight. That's what would have been natural for him. You see, Joshua was a man of action. He was one who would get things done. We find that of him in the Scriptures. But you know what we also find of Joshua here? He submitted to God, understanding that the Lord was in command of him. You know, this morning, there's nothing wrong with being an individual of action. I really think that's good. We need believers who get going and serve God and be witnesses and get involved in their church. But we also need to be willing, each one of us, to submit to God, to His direction in the Bible, to His leadership and to His control. You know, if we're going to overcome obstacles, if you're going to overcome the obstacles in your life, you must be willing to submit to God. You must be willing to follow His direction and follow His leadership. So we find Joshua and the people, you know what they did? They continued with confidence in God's Word. Now, it probably appeared senseless to see this group of people walking around that city. It probably appeared senseless. And they had to listen to all the talking that was going on within the city. They had to wait for God to work and just sit back and watch. But you know, faith leads us to comply with God's direction. Even if it appears to be senseless, if God has said it, we go by faith. Now, it may have appeared to be inadequate, but you know what? They didn't trust the method. They trusted God. And this morning, that's what we need to remember. They weren't trusting in their ability to walk. They weren't trusting in the horns, the time. They were trusting that God would bring those walls down. It wasn't the method, it was God. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in trusting in methods and following after the newest fad instead of trusting in God and reading His wording and applying it. Also, they continued, though they became a laughingstock. And this was embarrassing. I imagine some of the men probably thinking, what kind of soldiers are we walking around a city just waiting for it to fall? This was, when you think about it, it was a humiliating order for these men. They were vulnerable to not only being attacked physically, that's why they put the armed men out front, but also the verbal attacks. Bible tells us nothing of what went on inside that city, but knowing human nature, I imagine them Canaanites were sitting back laughing. They may have even been shouting out loud over the walls, just making fun of those Israelites walking around the city. And when you think about it, they continued by faith, even though they appeared to be ridiculous. They trusted God. They had faith in God. You see, this opened them up to ridicule. And you want to test your faith? Open yourself up to ridicule. You want to test your faith? See what happens when someone makes fun of you for trusting in God, for going to church. That tests faith. You see, they continued on. They were faithful. They endured day after day. For 1 week, they did what God told them to do, even though they didn't see the results until the very end. You know, why would they continue each day? While the walls remained standing and the enemy laughed. Faith in God, that's why. Why do believers continue to witness today? This morning, why do you continue to witness to your friends and family? Why do believers witness when nobody even seems interested? Faith in God, that's why we do it. Why do believers continue to pray and wait for an answer? Faith in God. Why do missionaries preach and build churches where it seems useless? And sometimes where nobody wants them. Faith in God. They trust God. Why do we continue at all? Why do we turn on the lights? Why do we get the heat going this morning? Why did we open the doors and why do we gather? Faith in God. That's why we're here this morning. We have faith in God. Faith in His Word. Trust in Him. You see, they exercised faith. They had patient faith. They didn't quit when it didn't happen immediately. They weren't discouraged. The Puritan, John Brown, several years ago wrote this. He said, many Christians are like children. They would sow and reap the same day if they could. How many of you like that? I am. When I pray, I want God to answer the prayer by the end of the day. Now, He doesn't. Sometimes He does, but usually I have to wait. But sometimes we're like children. How many of you have children? You know, you give them $5 and it's gone. I mean, they're not going to save it. Maybe some of you were like that. You know, just get it and you go. You see, we have to be patient and trust in God. Understand that He's got the timing correct and that He'll work in His time and that He'll bless us when He's ready to bless us. You know what happened here? Faith produced endurance. This group of people, they endured. They believed God and they were willing to continue without seeing the results immediately. They believed God and they were willing to continue even though they were persecuted. And they laughed, and I guess they mocked. They just went. Joshua and the people endured because they believed God. Fourthly, and finally this morning, I want you to think about their expectation. We read the passage there. I don't think they would have went if they would have doubted God bringing those walls down. What I mean by that is they believed the walls would fall. That's why they went. They believed the walls would fall. That's why they did it each day. Joshua, that's why he led them. They believed the walls would fall. Why? Because God said so. That's it. They had never seen it done before. They had no model to look at. They didn't have a video to watch. God said it's going to happen, so they believed it. That's expectant faith. Believing that God will keep His word and that He will follow through on what He has said. You see, they didn't argue with God because they didn't need an explanation. You know, faith needs nothing more than God's word. And that's it. If God has said it, by faith we believe it. You know, today there are a lot of people looking for signs. They're looking for proof. Some are looking for wonders. You know what that is? That's a lack of faith. That's what that is. They don't believe what God has said. So they're looking for something more. Let me illustrate this for you this morning. Those of you that are parents, you have children at home, or maybe you can think back to when your children were home. Imagine going up to your son, if you had a son, and saying, you know, son, would you please take the garbage out? Son sits back in his couch as he's playing his video game and says, well, I'll think about it. Once I see a sign, then I'll go. Now, my dad would have given me a sign, and I would have went, and I would have remembered it the next time. But, you know, that's how today many are looking for signs from God and all this proof. God has given us His Word, and God has, guess what? God has said, I've even sent my Son to die on the cross. I'm not sending anything else. There is not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another Savior. Jesus will return, of course, but He's already made atonement for sin on the cross. That's been settled. God has already given us what is required. We just need to take Him at His word. Another way to illustrate this, those of you that are heading to work tomorrow morning, what if you would go in and do the same thing? Maybe your employer said, I need you to do this. And you say, well, as soon as I see a sign, you know, once I see it in the clouds, or once I feel like doing it. Or you may feel like doing something else at home later in the day too. You see, what it is, it's a lack of faith when we don't take God at His word. Faith takes God at His word and stops at nothing because it trusts that what God says will come to pass. It expects Him to work. That's what faith is. You know, by faith, Joshua and the Israelites, this is where we're going to wrap this up. They expected the impossible. Think about that. They expected those walls to fall down and for them to overcome the city. They had never seen this before, but they expected it. They had never seen a city overcome with a fight, but they expected it. You know, faith moves forward, believing God will keep His word. Even though we have never actually seen it or know how He'll keep it, He says He'll do it. By faith, we continue to go. You know, by faith, they were blessed. We've read the passage there. The walls fell down. The Israelites overran the city. The Canaanites, now we didn't read this later, it says the Canaanites throughout the land became fearful. They were afraid because what had happened, how God had blessed. I tell you this morning, if God blesses you in your life, people are going to notice it. They might not become fearful, but they may say, hey, look, God is working in their life. God is blessing them. Let's live by faith so people can see how God works through us. And finally, the Lord received all the credit and glory. Nobody could say, I did it. God says, or everybody said, God did it. The Lord gave us this blessing. You know, faith produced expectation. They boldly went in by faith, and they expected God to keep His word that He'd given to them. This morning, life is filled with struggles and obstacles. Sometimes they're bigger than other times. Sometimes we get an obstacle in front of us that just is, it's a mountain or it's like a city. And we have to live by faith. We have to trust God that He'll keep His word. Often our faith will be challenged by those tests and by those trials. This morning, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord's word and trust that He'll keep His word. That's why I challenge you to read your Bible, study Him. You find the promises that God has given, promises like He'll provide your needs. Things like that are what we hold on to during difficult times because they're God's word, not men's words. You see, trust the Lord to keep His word. Trust that He'll meet your needs. Trust that He'll lead your life. You know, this morning, nothing is impossible for God. The same God that brought those walls down is the same God that we worship and serve today. The same God that allowed those Israelites to go into that city without any type of fight is the same God that we pray to, the same God that we follow. And nothing is impossible for Him. You see, the world cannot stand up to the power of God. The great and fortified city of Jericho wilted before the Almighty God. It just crumbled before God's power. Now this morning, you may not have walls in your life or cities to overcome, but the same faith in God is required. It is required to live correctly and to serve the Lord, required to overcome trials or difficulty, and it's also required to withstand temptation and to separate from sin. Faith in God and His Word. I'm going to read you a few verses here. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Philippians 4:13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Do you believe those verses? They're God's Word. Faith in God. We can do the impossible, or things that appear to be impossible. Faith in God, trusting in Him, walking with Him, we can. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, he established the China Inland Mission. He was there for many years, saw many souls saved. In a nation that everyone said, you can't reach people there, he reached people there. He had faith in God. It is said that when he would move from house to house, that he would put a plaque on his wall. And that plaque had two words. The first word was Ebenezer. And that means, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. The second word was Jehovah Jireh, and that would be right underneath. And that means, the Lord will see to it or provide. That plaque reminded Hudson Taylor of God's faithfulness. That God was faithful to him in the past, and that God will remain faithful to him in the future. You see, God will be faithful. God will keep His Word. We just need to continue forward. Joshua and the people expected those walls to come down. They made that march, and those walls did fall because of God's power. You know, in closing this morning, we have been reminded that the Lord works through faith. He does. The people were eager, they were earnest, they endured, they expected, and God blessed. He kept His Word. Now, God's power is what brought the walls down. It wasn't the horns, it wasn't their walking. His power brought those walls down, but their faith, the faith of Joshua and the faith of those people, is what He chose to work through. Now turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I want to show you a verse here in closing this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "Therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You do realize that God works the same way in salvation as He did in bringing those walls down. By grace, He says, are you saved through faith. See, faith is the channel that God works through. God provides the salvation. It's not of works. It's made very clear there. It's not of works. God is the one who performs the work in the heart. God will change the heart. God will give the new life. But it's through faith. This morning, I want to ask you, have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? See, in verse 9, it makes it clear, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing we can do can provide our salvation. We don't have that power to save our soul. But God does. And by repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ as our Savior, we can be saved. I hope and pray everyone here has made that decision. But if not, you can be saved here this morning. You can know that you're saved, your sins can be forgiven, and you can have a life with God, eternal life with the Lord. You know, by faith is how we are freed from the power of the devil. By faith in God's power, and by faith is how we're freed from the power of sin. God provides the new life for us. After we're saved, believers, you know you're saved, you've trusted in Christ, and perhaps this morning, that's everyone here, hope and pray that's everyone here. But this morning, after you're saved, you must continue by faith. You know, this entire chapter, Hebrews 11, was kicked off and at the end of Hebrews 10 when Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." You see, we're to live by faith. Without faith, there is no spiritual progress or no spiritual growth. We have to live by faith. Also, Without faith, we will not be able to overcome the temptations or the obstacles that are before us. We must live by faith, faith in God. William Carey, and I'm going to close with this thought. William Carey, the missionary to India, went there basically by faith. He got there. For many years, it was a struggle. But eventually, he saw the Lord work. And he wrote this down. He said there, ask great things of God, expect great things from God, and then undertake great things for God. That was his motto in life. That's a good motto for believers. That's a motto of faith, trusting God, going forward, expecting Him to bless. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You have provided. I thank You for the testimony of Joshua and the people and their faith in You. And today, Lord, I pray if You've worked in anyone's heart in any way, I pray that You'll encourage them to seek You out in prayer. If there's someone here that needs to settle their salvation, I pray that they'll seek You out and they'll trust in You as their Savior. And Lord, for believers here this morning, I pray this was a reminder of the importance of living by faith. I pray it encourage us to continue by faith and to trust in You. Bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of prayer and invitation. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You can remain seated this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If God has worked in your heart here this morning in any way, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. If you're concerned about your salvation, maybe you've been trusting in a work, or maybe you've been trusting in something else, or maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a decision. You know, that can happen. If that's the case, I encourage you to repent of your sins, trust in Christ as your Savior, and do that from the heart. If you have any questions concerning salvation, you'd like to know some more, or have some questions, please come forward. We can show you from the Bible what the Bible says about salvation. Maybe there's one here this morning that you have trusted in Christ, you're saved, but God has allowed an obstacle in your life. I mean, it just dropped right in front of you. And it's staggered you a little bit, maybe it's hindered your faith, and perhaps this is what you needed. Just that reminder of trusting in God and going forward and enduring. If that's the case, encourage you to seek God and trust in Him. Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Just because our invitation is closed doesn't mean God's has. If God has worked in your heart and you need to take more time to seek Him in prayer, I encourage you to do so. It is a blessing to be here. Good to see everyone out. We're going to close in a word of prayer. This week we have our Bible study.